Darryl Powell, what a game. We talked about entertainment and the entertainers. That is incredible. Behind you, you've got hundreds of Warrington fans celebrating. How do you feel after that?
Oh, wow, yeah, it was just end-to-end, a lot of drama. Obviously, we get a man sent off and that put us under pressure. But I think we just showed how tough we were today. You know, Catalan were awesome. I thought they really came after us and we handled it well and we battled through some real tough moments. And, yeah, that's a big win for us, that.
This is the start of a series of tough games for you. Is there any better preparation for your Wigan Saints games coming up now?
Oh, no, I mean, you saw with the Saints-Wigan game yesterday, it's going to be a real battle. But finding our way through tough games is it's a real evolution of our team, I think, and that was a tough effort today. The boys are absolutely class.
8 from 8, Darryl. Are you going to let them celebrate tonight?
Oh, yeah, do what they want tonight.
Hello, hello, welcome to What Bevan. I'm Rob London, and with Easter now behind us, where are my two podcasting resurrections? Firstly, a man that nails his caveats to the cross and always looks on the brighter side of life. No, it's not the life of Brian or Brian Bevan, but good old Sam Sankey.
Hello, hello, hello.
And also, he's no Palm Sunday, but according to him, he does have big hands. Yes, waiting to palm off the selfie fans as his popularity rises amongst the YouTube community. Why, it's the podcast messiah, it's Dennis Waywell.
All right.
How are we, gentlemen?
Well, I'm better than you two, let's be honest. So before we start, I've got to make apologies because my two podcasting friends are both ill. As well as having a bit of dementia.
Oh, I'm under the weather. I'm under the weather. So, Sam, it's my chest and it's your arse. Is that where we're at?
It was. I've just come out the other end, so to speak.
Oh, God.
Well, we really need to up our game, boys, because it's just not... We've had another complaint. I'm going to read it out.
Oh, no.
Helen Biceps from Grappenhall. Dear, what would Brian Bevan say? What on earth is the point of this podcast if you cannot remember or retain any facts? Last episode, on numerous occasions, facts were brushed over with the calls of, oh, what's his name, or, you know who I mean. Rob calling NFL Chicago Bulls refrigerator William Perry a running back, Dennis quoting Thurston playing for Wire rather than Thursfield, and most appallingly, Sam referred to the outstanding Danny Walker as that little thingy-majig. She goes on to write, you've lost me as a listener, you're pathetic. If I wanted to be subjected to such a wishy-washy conversation, I'd visit my elderly nan in her care home, although she probably shits herself less than you three fuckwits. Well, thanks for your...
That's probably true.
Thanks for that, Helen, from... where's she from again? Grapnel. Grapnel.
And then they're inside the 40 already. Danny Walker looking around. No Darryl Clark for Warrington today. So a first start for Walker as Williams kicks over the top. Curry's racing through the line. Can he get to the bounce of the ball? He might not need to. Aston will get there. First try for the Warrington Wolves. Goodbye, Las Vegas at the disc roll. Come on, 7-7-7. Let's go. Confidence has born now. Goes forward. He offloads it. Here now is Duffy. Gets it away. They've got numbers now. Surely Mataute going for the line, and he's over! Peter Mataute has scored the try! Walker looking, dummies right, goes left to Williams. Williams pokes the kick over the top, can he catch it? Oh, what a catch! A Superman dive from Ben Curry! Skips out of dummy half, fakes the kick, gets it away to Fast. Ball on the ground, picks up trouble here. And away go Warrington. Duffy on the inside. Duffy's away. Matt Duffy stretches away. And Warrington go 100 metres to score. I'm about to buy Las Vegas at the disc row. I'm about to buy Las Vegas at the disc row. Come Sterling in his first start of the season gets it away to Drinkwater, takes on the line. Drinkwater's going to go through! Paper thin, hold it back! Here Hall, but they need to ask a few more questions. Dwyer out of dummy half. Dwyer trying to pinch one. Dwyer goes for the line! Dwyer gets it down! Is anybody going to let them in? Drinkwater back to Nicholson. Nicholson back in his way to the line. He's over finally. The league leaders add to their first half tally.
Well, there's the highlights. The team was Dufty, Russell, Minikin, Ratchford, Ashton Williams, Drinkwater, McKayley played his last game, Walker Vaughan, Curry Nicholson, and Metautier filled in at 13. Interchange bench was Philbin, Foulis, Dudson and Thomas. To paraphrase Tony Smith in the lead-up to the match and his time at Warrington, he said, "The owner is a terrific guy and will always remain friends. I've got massive respect for Simon Moran and others over there. It's not close to my heart anymore. It was when I was working there. I gave my heart and soul to it, and that's what we do as professional coaches." Well, didn't kind of help Tony, because the final score was Warrington 32, Hull 6. Sam, you were there?
Yes, I was. Yes, it was an early start, wasn't it? Bright and early on Saturday.
Oh, that's right. I'd forgotten where it was. Channel 4, wasn't it? It's all coming back to me now. Dennis was trying to get me to watch the pre-game entertainment with Adam Hills, but I decided not to.
Oh, well, I thought I'd have to, you know, wake it up with something.
I think I was watching Manchester United. Did Manchester United play on the same day? Can't remember. Did they play Everton? I can't remember. It's only a week ago. Jesus. Right, we'll run through this in sort of bits. So I'm going to run through the first three tries. The fifth minute, and from 40 metres out, George William kicks over the top for Ben Curry and Ashton to chase. The ball bounces favourably for Ashton's direction and he calmly catches and places the ball down in the corner. Ratchford kicks an absolute beauty from the touchline and it's 6-0. On the 10th minute, more pressure from Wire close to the whole line creates space for Metautier to shirk off a high tackle and to spin over to touchdown. Ratchford misses the conversion he'd normally kick and it's 10-0. And then on the 19th minute, a clever little chip into the whole in-goal area sees Curry jump, catch, dive and score. Ratchford isn't going to miss again. And Wire leads 16-0. Just a walk in the park, wasn't it, Sam?
Oh, it looked easy. In fact, not only did it look easy, Hull looked atrocious. You know, they looked awful.
What is up with Hull, Dennis? Like, I watched them play Hull KR. They were awful.
They are just... It's just a bag of shit, aren't they? I mean... I've obviously spent time with Jono at Hull KR, and I do follow his tweets and things like that, and they're obviously enjoying it at the moment because they're the biggest Hull side at the moment, Hull KR. Hull FC just don't seem to have any kind of intensity. I did write one thing down. I think I can't remember. Oh, I'm going to say what his name is. Who scored their first try? Dwyer. I can remember Dwyer. And he was, overall in the match, I thought he was the only one who was showing any kind of intensity and really sort of like wanting to, you know, win. But the rest of the team just don't seem to have, they've lost the spark.
Mm. Yeah, I agree. I thought exactly the same with Dwyer, Sam. He seemed to be the only one that was actually, you know, putting in a shift. You know, he wriggled away from Vaughan when he scored that try. But the rest of them just look, they're awful.
Yeah, I think Dennis said intensity. They had no intensity. We did. And although I don't want to break your time frame continuum, we eventually eased off because their lack of intensity got to us as well, I think.
I heard Martin Gleeson in the Hull, I think it was the Hull KR game, he kind of disagreed with Smith. I think Smith had sort of pointed towards they needed to be better in attack, and Gleeson was like, well, get your defence right first and then your attack follows. I just think, do you think Smith's had his time? Like, I have to say, every time I hear Smith, I'm a bit like, oh, here he is. You know, you only got a limited time, haven't you, as a coach before it all gets a bit boring, and he just seems to just seems to talk
saying the same thing,
same thing over and over again. I also noticed on Twitter, I don't know whether this is true or not, but there's a lot of Hull fans saying, "Oh, don't worry, they'll all be on Instagram tomorrow and out on the piss." And I thought, "Oh, where have we heard that before?"
Yeah,
you know, it's just a mess because they've got money, haven't they? They're not short of a bob or two.
Well, we talked about them on our preview programme, didn't we? Saying every single year, they're like a worst version of Warrington. Every year they look like they might do something. They have two or three good wins, which they've not this year, really, and then they fade away into nothing. Mm. This year they seem to have started mediocre and faded away into nothing already.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'll continue the timeline. 28th minute, Hull build pressure on Warrington try line, but a loose ball is picked up by Williams for him to sprint away. He passes just shy of the halfway line to Duffy, and the rest is history. Ratchford slots over the two, 22-0. And then on the 37th minute, feeble tackling by Hull enables Drinkwater to cruise over and jog around to the back of the sticks. Ratchford seals the first half with two more from the kicking tee to leave the interval score of 28-0. That try, that last one by Drinkwater, I think Dwyer put his hands on his hips and just sort of looked at the rest of them and said, "What are you doing?" Yeah. It was just poor, wasn't it? I didn't realise that was in the 37th minute, because there seemed quite a bit of time then between that try and half time. And I wrote a little note here saying that Warrington are trying to score off every play.
Hmm.
Like, they just were forcing everything. We went away from what we... It reminded me a little bit of the... Was it the Salford match where we were just trying to score off every play early on? Just got a bit messy, yeah. I thought.
Yeah, I don't think it was a Salford game quite so much. But yes, earlier, a game earlier in the year, might have been Lee. We got a decent lead and then actually let them back into it a bit because we started getting a little overzealous, a little excitable, trying to do glory plays rather than just working through it, which is... We have heard Darrell use the word ruthless, saying we're not ruthless yet, and maybe that's what he means.
Mm. Mm. I have to say, the first half, I'm a big fan now of Drinkwater. I've mentioned how he's fitted in quite well. I came up with an analogy. He's almost like Michael O'Hare. He's the chef with the restaurant, man behind the curtain in Leeds. And he just pops up, you know, from nowhere, but he's also operating quite behind the curtain a lot of the time, and you don't know what you're going to get, and then there he is.
I was looking for Dudson's stats at Catalans last year, and I couldn't find his stats, but I did see an overview of last year's stats at Catalans. By far their best player was Drinkwater. Like, he had about three times more assists than any other player in the team. Like, his kicking was superb. Funny one, that, why they let him go. Not sure what's gone on there.
And we're not going to skip over the fact that I scored that first try because I judged it well.
Hang on. There's no way you're there, Will, in a million years. Jesus. 61st minute, there's a consolation try for Hull when former wire hooker Brad Dwyer's determination rewards him with a score. Jake Clifford converts, 28-6. Was rumour that Clifford was on his way to Warrington. He picked badly, didn't he? Where he ended up.
Or we picked well, whichever way round.
I think Clifford's a big fisherman. He likes fishing. And do you think they sort of said, "Oh, come over to Hull, you can fish in Hull"?
Grimsby, just down the corner there, yeah.
Hopefully. 70th minute, a try for Warrington's young, impressive second row forward, Nicholson. Ratchford adds the last 2 points of the afternoon to leave a final score of 38-6. So to recap, there were tries for Ashton, Metautier, Curry, Duffy, Drinkwater and Nicholson. Ratchford kicked 5 from 6, 83.3% kicking rate. And the HJ was 70.5% full, with an attendance of 10,797. So that attendance again, Sam, I presume, is higher than what we had last year against Hull.
Yeah, attendances are all up. I'm going to wait until we've played the Pies this week and then do a little split for you, because then we'll have played all the big teams apart from Wakefield. But I'm keeping a close eye on that. Our attendances are up, and without wanting to provoke you, last year when attendances were down and we were near the bottom of the table, you said the CEO had to take some blame. So now we're at the top of the table and attendances are up. Are we giving the credit to the CEO? That'll be a no then. Okay, let's move on.
Can I give a big shout out to a man who I thought had his best game in a Warrington shirt? And that was Peter Metautier. I thought he fitted in beautifully at 13. He's everything he's not in the centre. He's too slow in the centre. He gets caught out in the Catalans game, which we'll move on to. But I thought he had an excellent game.
He ran hard and strong, didn't he?
Yeah. 24 tackles, only two missed, two tackle busts, 14 carries, one clean break, two offloads. No errors, no penalties.
Who's doing the stats for Warrington? Because the stats that Warrington put up in comparison to the stats that Super League put up, there's quite a difference. They had Maguire down as 100 metres against Catalans. And I went back and watched the game. I thought, I'm going to watch that. I mean, I was ill yesterday. I'm going to watch that and see. I came up with 67 metres for him. Super League came up with 70. Yet Warrington came up with 100.
Did you count when he ran off, when he was spelled?
I have a funny feeling they've counted when he got off the bus into the changing room and back on, maybe. So, yeah, a bit of spin.
They also have a score at Warrington, which is like a total involvement score. I can't remember exactly what it is now, but that they look at a more rounded view of what a player does. So if a player makes dummy runs, they count that as an involvement as well, you know, because you're working hard off the ball for the others, which obviously is not the same as the Opta stats, which is simply when you're in possession or not.
Sounds like a tax thing, doesn't it? And no wonder Sam's come up with that little tax
loophole. Yeah, he knows it, doesn't he? Yeah, he knows that one. Duffy 227 metres, Vaughan 191, Williams running the show on 131, Minikin 111 metres, and Curry over the ton as well on 105. So some really good figures there from some of the players.
Can I just flag up the partnership between Curry and Nicholson? I say partnership, they don't really get involved together that much, but similar players at different ends of their career. Really, and their stats are so similar game in, game out. Both scored a try against Hull. Curry 28 tackles, Nicholson 27. Both had 11 carries. Curry 65 yards, Nicholson 68. Both had a clean break. You know, time and time again, their work role, the workload is shared almost equally between the two, and they're dovetailing very well for us.
Does that come off the back of Drinkwater sharing it out nicely and Williams sharing it out, you know?
Yeah, quite possibly. I mean, without it getting too statty, which obviously, you know, I could go on with for hours, the difference between Drinkwater and Williams in terms of running the ball is enormous. But in terms of involvements, it's very similar. In terms of kicking, it's very similar. And in terms of...
There's no stats in that, is there? You're just talking now. Where's the fucking numbers?
Okay, you provoked me. Tackles, 99 Williams, 114 Drinkwater. Carries 188 from Williams, so he's run the ball 188 times. Drinkwater, just 58. And there's nearly a thousand metres difference. Nearly 1,000 metres difference, but the amount of touches... Drinkwater passes it on. Drinkwater shares the ball around. Williams is a running game. They dovetail well.
There's one guy here, Dudson, only made 59 metres.
I think we might be mentioning him later in the the show, aren't we?
Okay, round 7 results. Lee 6, Wigan 34. Hull KR 20, Leeds 12. Saints 38, Wakefield 0. Catalans 22, Castleford 18. And Salford 16, Huddersfield 26. I've got a little comment here next to the Lee-Wigan game. Dennis, you sent me a comment on WhatsApp about Toby King. You did a bit of analysis. Can you remember your exact words?
What you said? It was a while ago now because I've been away. I can't really remember. Was it positive?
Yeah, it was quite positive. The words were, Toby King is fucking shit.
Ah, okay.
That's what you said.
So that means a hat-trick for Toby King against us on Friday night, then.
Yeah. Can I? We have got the best centre in Super League in Stephen Ratchford. He is working little tricks out there against Catalans. And I watched the whole game.
Are you breaking the time continuum?
Sorry, I have to because I just wish they played Ratchford there at centre for the past 10 years. He's the best centre.
5 or 6 years ago, at least.
He shits all over King as a centre. Absolutely shits all over him.
So you're in agreement with me then, are you?
Oh, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to flat-footed King against Ratchford. I bet you Ratchford has a field day. Wait and see. Sam's not too sure about that.
Other scores, is Wakefield now seen as a bye round? Is that what we're doing? We're going with that.
Before that, John Craven's news round.
Well, there's news round. George Williams is now top of the Man of Steel leaderboard, with Paul Vaughan finding himself down in sixth position. With regards to the topic, St Helens forward Matty Lees played 80 minutes against Huddersfield, completing 68 tackles, but was overlooked for any Man of Steel points. His coach Paul Wellens quoted as saying, "I'm not sure how anyone can watch that game and not see Matt was the standout player on the field." It's all Super League, isn't it? So are we always Super League that we're always like, oh.
So what's your point here? Because, did you say Matty Lees? You did say Matty Lees, didn't you? You didn't say Matty Nicholson, didn't you?
No, Matty Lees. Saints.
Okay. Yeah, just listen back on that. So what's your point then? Are you saying that he's comparable to...
You listen to the Dally M points when they're handing them out. The NRL, they get it spot on every week. Yet the inconsistency where these points go in Super League, you know, and it's an interesting panel. Like some big names on that panel. I mean, Hanley's on the panel. You know.
It is opinion, though, isn't it? It is opinion, and it's the feel. I mean, it's like a game of football. If Gary Lineker, when he used to play, scores two goals and gets the man of the match, but all he's done is get two tap-ins. And yet the guy in midfield who's run for miles and miles and miles defending and attacking and setting you up doesn't get a look in. It's that type of thing sometimes, isn't it?
Is the Australian point system the same, Rob? Is it like...
I think it's done through the press. I think the press do it. But
do they have different criteria?
I don't honestly know, mate, but I do know that journalism, if you want to be, you know, there's a lot of people in Australia want to be a sports journalist, and Christ, it pays well. So they get the best of the best in journalism over here. You know, they're shrewd, and it's a proper profession.
Callum would get a job over there?
I'm not well. You can't come out with that when I'm not well. A group of former football, rugby league and rugby union players who are taking legal action claiming they suffered brain injuries playing their respective sports has grown to 378. The new claimants include 100 former rugby league players, 40 ex-rugby union players and 14 former footballers. Lawyers have filed their claims in the High Court. Legal experts say the claims could exceed 300 million.
That's just a couple of football ones, that 300 million.
Are we allowed to put a claim in soon for podcast dementia? Like, is that we allowed to do that?
I think so.
If we can remember how to do it.
Is it just because it's a no-win, no-fee thing and they're lumped in with a few others and they thought, chance my arm and get a bit of cash without really thinking of like the consequences? What's the thoughts there?
Yeah, I think, to be serious for a moment, it's not so much the dementia and the brain injury, which is obviously sad. It's at what point did clubs and club doctors know this was a thing and didn't choose to protect their employees? That's what it's about, really. We'll see how it plays out, but for all sport, not in particular the two rugby codes, but for all sport, it's very, very serious. We'll see what happens.
I wonder if that pole vaulter will get a case against the time he caught his bollocks on the pole when he went over the high. bar.
Gee. I tell you who does worry me that will be added to that list if we're not careful, and that's Josh Thewlis. He's a young lad, and every week he gets clattered round the head. You can't keep, you know, you can't keep him taking wallops round the head, can you, like that in life?
I tell you what, Gareth O'Brien, every time I see him, he keeps getting knocked out. He went off last week. Is he playing for Lee now? I've got a bit of dementia myself, but is he playing for... I didn't mean it in that way. But, I mean, I think he's playing for Lee now, but he's been
knocked out. Get on with it.
Every time. I'm just saying that, you know, maybe there's a time he needs to sort of think about, you know what, like Jake Mamo did. He said, well, I'm sick of this. Been knocked out a few times. I'm off.
Yeah, it's a tricky one, isn't it? With Thomas McCailey leaving the club after the Hull game to return to Australia and join the Gold Coast Titans, Warrington are rumoured to be seeking a replacement, with Wire now having salary cap to spend and an overseas quota spot to fill, with the rumour of Wakefield's Kalepi Tanganawa moving to the Wire not going away. However, Tanganawa is under contract at Bellevue until the end of next year. Fitzpatrick quoted as saying, with regards to the signing of a new player, we will be patient and wait for the right deal to come along. I mean, basically wait for a player to come along. There's no players. And that's why they've been patient, isn't it?
Mm. I mean, we started off with 40-odd forwards, Rob. How many are we down to now? Are we in single figures?
We must be. We must be in single figures. And the bungalow's vacant. So, I mean...
Good point.
We'll come on to that in a bit, but yeah. Is Tanganawa any good? He's injured, isn't he?
He is injured, yes. And... whilst he's never been on my radar per se, I know a couple of friends really rate him, but rate him as an impact player, not as someone who's going to do you 80 minutes.
Right.
Okay. Very difficult though, isn't it? If you're in basically a shit team at the bottom of the league, and you're their standout player, put you in a decent team, you could go to new heights.
And finally, bringing news round full circle and back to George Williams, Carl Fitzpatrick has been quoted as saying the club have made Williams a fantastic offer to keep him at the HJ after his contract expires come the end of 2024. Fitzpatrick also going on record to say, we've no interest selling George prior to that. So Williams is off to the West Tigers next week. So that should be...
No, I know what the offer is. They're going to gift him the bungalow and let him have whatever rental income comes off it, he can have.
Jesus, that'd be a good name. Robert, if you were an agent, would you play that game then? Of just
that was
of
agent.
Like,
you know, what
did
you say then?
No, agent.
Sorry.
Yeah. Right. I mean, it's a classic tactic, isn't it, by an agent to start throwing a name around and then all of a sudden there's money flying around and he gets his bumps.
We did put a bit of a red herring out. I can't remember what the player was. I never even heard of him. There was a player. Spoke to the lad at Fox Sports. Said, give me a player's name I can put out. And he gave me this name. And we stuck it out on Twitter. Within about 3 days, it was in all the national papers. And it was being talked about.
Serious about rugby league.
League Express. They'd all gone for it. Warrington Guardian. It was all there. So I'm not sure if it was in Warrington Guardian. I couldn't see because of the pop-ups.
Statistics, caveats, bollocks. Listen up, you norms. It's time for Sam to talk shite for 5 minutes. It's Sam Sankey's shitistics. No. Dick's data. No. Anal cyst. No. Twat stats. No. Statistics. Yes. That's it. It's time for Sam Sankey's statistics. Accreditation removed.
Well, yes. Interesting week this week, isn't it? That with the players that have got... Actually, can I just start that again? That was shit.
That's staying in.
Oh, I'd already fell asleep then.
I was waiting for you to do all your graphs first. Just for the listener, in case he leaves that in, Mr. London's provided us about 97 graphs that we're expecting him to go through.
I'm not well. Come on, Sankey, pick it up.
You know he's not editing these anymore. He's just fucking get on with it.
Do you know? It's funny you should say that. So normally it takes me about 3.5 hours to edit it. Last week, I edited this podcast in about 15 minutes. I didn't check it at all. I just went, boomf, 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 done. That was it. Yeah. So,
is that the new way, is it?
It's the new way. It's the new way.
Excellent. Yeah. So I can say anything I like and it'll stay in.
It'll stay in.
Yeah.
Okay. Best statistic of this last round, Matty Ashton, fastest man in Super League, fastest time, second fastest time on the charts at 35.27 kilometres an hour, which is a smidge over 22 miles per hour. So he'd still get eaten by a cheetah.
Where did they get this from? Have someone got a gun on them or something?
It's those little things on the back. They do all sorts of testing how many sprints you do. Tom Davies was the most sprints this week. Ashton only did one sprint, but then he's knackered, isn't he?
Mm. Is he?
He's strong. He's very strong.
Though. I know. It's because it's my influence, isn't it? You know, because if I was playing there, he's probably looked at me and thought, you know what, I need to be like way well off that podcast.
I'm leaving you two behind, aren't I? Because I don't think you've scored any of Ashton's tries yet, Dennis. And
no, I've lost count.
I think we've given one to Sam for being dufty. I'm on about eight now for Thulis.
You mean, I'm having the one against Hull. All I had to do was keep up with George Williams, and he's not that quick compared to the rest of them.
What's his speed, Sam? Have you got that stat?
He's about a quarter of a millisecond quicker than me over 100 metres. There you go. I kept up with him.
Yeah. What's his speed in Marks and Spencer's?
Dufty. It wasn't so much his two aisles line per speed second. In Marks and Spencer. No, it was his. You know, like when you used to see them do this, they used to put the rubber tyres out and they used to do the agility between the rubber tyres. It was like that, dodging down the aisle, going past all the old grannies. Oh, it was rapid, absolutely rapid. Anyway, that's an official stat. I've already done the main stats I wanted to bring out, and that was really the difference between Williams and Drinkwater, particularly in the running game, with Williams with 188 carries. That's the most running carries in our team. So when people talk about the difference between a running halfback and a passing halfback, they only need to look at our 6 and 7 and you will see the extremes of both.
Is this the shittiest podcast we've ever done?
I think so.
Sam, is that all your stats? Are you done? Is that why you just paused? Because I've got a graph here. I want a question.
Well, the one graph that I do like is the kicking ratio graph. Ratchford's about 76%, but in total, all the other teams are only kicking at 57%. So it's a nice little winner, that, isn't it? Basically, no one's got a kicker apart from Hull, and they're shit.
So, I don't like the strike rate after 8 games graph. The reason being is it should be divisible by minutes, so it's like, by how many minutes you played.
We've got a strike rate graph here on the screen. Russell is currently at 100%. I think he's only played 2 games and he scored twice. Ashton's about 88%. Yes. Dufty's down at 70%. Ratchford, as much as I'm actually saying what a wonderful player he is, his strike rate's still only 1 try in 10 games. But he is, as Sam mentioned at the start of the season, you know, how many assists is he creating, and he's constantly creating room for his winger or letting him bring the ball back inside. So, and our scoring, when we're conceding and when we're scoring the points, not changed too much. We're conceding most of our points in the fourth quarter. We concede 33% of the points towards the end of the game. We score most of our points in the first quarter, 30%.
And all these stats will be available when you release the podcast, will they?
Jesus.
Mesdames, messieurs, le disc jockey Zach est de retour.
Drinkwater. Just out, and what a pass, and what a try it'll be for George Thewlis. The first time that Warrington have attacked two plays down the middle, swiftly moved out to the right-hand side, and 20 years of age, but my, he knows where the try line is. Warrington still leading 4-0. There is Kieran with the kick to the corner. Ball goes backwards, and it may well have fallen to the Dragons. And it's a try for Catalan in the corner.
Mesdames, Messieurs, le disjockey Zach est de retour.
Romano gets the ball out, now to space. Johnston looking for it. Little kick forward. The chase is on for Kieran. Can he get to the ball? And it looks like Dusty. But it was Curry who got back. Big decision. 4-4. And it's given as a try.
Well, there's the highlights. The team was Dufty, Foulis, Metautier, Ratchford, Ashton, Williams, Drinkwater, Dudson, Walker, Vaughan, Curry, Nicholson, and Maguire made his debut. Interchange bench was Cassiano, Philbin, Minikin, and a debut to Lucas Green, although he didn't make it onto the pitch. Final score, Catalans 14, Warrington 20. Right, now, I mean, there's so much to talk about. I've done a timeline, boys, but we have to read between the lines on this one more than any other game I think we've ever done, don't we? I mean, it was non-stop from start to finish. First minute, Catalans kick off, and a poor first drive by Dudson sees from the play of the ball Ratchford driven back behind his goal line, resulting in a dropout from under the sticks. Watched this a couple of times. I thought, what's he doing? Dudson just didn't run with any vigour when he took that first ball up. He gets pushed back a couple of metres. Walker's then at the play of the ball, getting pushed back as he plays the ball. And Ratchford's like, oh, thanks very much. Takes the ball about 2 metres off his try line and he gets pushed back in. Just no aggression in the legs when he hit that first tackle.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, it was an exciting game. It was a wonderful game. We're going to talk all about it. But if I've got a criticism of us, for the first time, I think this year, we were out-enthused from the kickoff. Mm. You know, that first 10 minutes or so, they flew at us, and it was almost as if we didn't expect it. It was almost as I'm sure we were playing, but I don't think quite that, Rob, because I don't think we were poor. I just think they upped their game and we didn't. And it took us several minutes to get going and up ours to the same intensity.
But you don't think the narrative was kind of hit straight away from Dudson's poor effort on his first drive? Was that You know,
possibly.
Did that
or was the narrative from their aggressive in-your-face defence, maybe?
Mm. Yeah, maybe. Dennis?
Well, I was there, of course.
Yes, of course.
It's on the telly,
yeah.
Weren't you?
Was I? Oh. But, yeah, I'd made the journey down. I'll talk about it in tackle bags. But I did manage to get hold of Daryl Powell just before. Well, actually, fortuitously, they'd just come off the bus. And I thought, oh, here we go. So I managed to stalk him again. And, he was expecting a tough game. And I was trying to say, well, you've got a lot of players out. What's up with you? Oh, no, it's going to be a tough game. So he was expecting a tough game. But I know what you mean. But one thing I can say is that, you know, when you look at the two teams when they run out, Catalan are a big side still. Mm, they are a big side. It was noticeable. Mm. I mean, Mrs. Waywell, she saw Mike McMeekin, and I started to get worried, for him, because, she managed to get her hands on him.
Yeah. I think McMeekin could turn out to be one of the big players of the year, because for years he's been a second row forward, and suddenly he's moved up to prop. He looks like he's put another stone on, and he looks an absolute beast. He's still got a bit of that power and still got a bit of that speed. Yeah. Whether he can keep it going all year, we'll see.
Yeah. 7th minute, after endless Catalans pressure, Wye gets some ball down the attacking end. A great dark drive from Vaughan sucks 4 Dragon defenders in. It leaves Warrington with bags of space on their next play, and a looping ball from Duffy sends Thulis in unopposed. Ratchford misses the kick, and we're 4-0 up. Again, there he is, Dennis Vaughan, dragging them all in.
I'd say, I didn't bring it up in the whole match, but I watched the highlights again this week, and, it was a try where he did it. Four whole players on the back, on his back, exactly the same here. You can't beat it, can you? I mean, he's absolutely massive, the guy.
If you watch it, There's 4 players not trying to get on him. There's 3 Catalans players on him, and there's a fullback desperately trying to get back into position, and Vaughan keeps hold of him.
Yes,
if you watch it, he's got hold of him the whole, and the fullback's trying to get away, and he's like, "You're going nowhere. You're staying here." So it wasn't just clever. A drive. He's clever, smart. What he did there. 18th minute, Da Costa loses the ball trying to ground it. The 25th minute, a Dragons cricket crop. 25th minute, a Dragons kick across field isn't dealt with by Ratchford, and Mike McMeekin scores for Catalans. The conversion attempt hits the post, and it's 4-4. And then the 29th minute, Dragons kick through sees Curry and Kieran chase for the ball. Curry gets there first, but video ref says he impeded Kieran's attempt to ground the ball. Video ref awards a penalty try for 10-4.
Didn't like this. Didn't like this at all. I thought this was... Well, I'm sure if we go to the rule book, Curry does touch him, so they can say that's a foul. But I thought that was excellent defending. If it was in the middle of the field, I don't think the referee blows for a penalty there. I think he just waves play on. Warrington have the ball, get up and carry on. If it's a kick through in field, but obviously with a TV camera there. And was he definitely going to score that? The ball had bounced away. That's why Curry got it down there. He wasn't even bending down to touch it.
No, it's bullshit. The biggest load of bullshit I've seen. And the TV as well, with the shit, can't deal with the shade. That really fucking annoys me. Does it annoy you? Or am I on my own?
What are you on about?
Oh, when you watch the TV, and because it was so sunny, and like you've got the shade and things, the camera can't deal with the different contrast. And you can't see it properly, and
But you weren't watching it on TV; you were live there.
I know. I just wanted to have a moan about that.
Where was the cast of your nose? Was the sun behind you, or where
yeah?
Was it?
Well, it actually, you know what? It was like an Indiana Jones moment, because it sort of met with George Williams when he looked at me, and you know, the shadow on the middle of the pitch. And I thought, oh, we should go and dig some treasure there.
Rob, what do you think about that?
My take on it is that I think we got very lucky, because there was a few other decisions that went our way when it came to video ref calls. Now, I'm not saying I'm not saying any of them were wrong. I think they were all correct in the way they were given, but we know how consistent Super League is, and based on that, I was quite happy to see this one given and the other's not given. I almost think it sort of set a platform for the rest of the game where the video ref went, oh, I've given one, I can't give the next one at the end. I just think that was an issue. But again, the other inconsistency I've got, so is that if you watch the Huddersfield versus Leeds game and McGilvery, and Myler gets sent to the sin bin, I don't know if you've seen it, where McGilvery's running through, he catches the ball, and then Myler sort of flails him with an arm and brings him to the ground, and he sends Myler off. That's a penalty try. There was no one stopping McGilvery. McGilvery's 2 metres from the line. He's caught the ball. Why is that not a penalty try? And this one was. Just the inconsistencies.
I just felt that, I'm sure if it had been the other way round, I'd have been saying, that should be a penalty try, that should be a penalty. But it felt that, as my understanding, would a try certainly or almost certainly have been scored? I don't think he would have almost certainly scored it. And one thing we should say, what about Cuddy's pace to get back?
Yeah, he's effort. Definitely. I saw the... didn't pick it up on the Sky commentary too easily, but on the Super League show, they clearly get the track and then they put, you know, they put Dave Woods over the top of it, who's not there. But the referee instantly said penalty try.
Within
He hadn't even arrived. He's like, penalty try, penalty try. And I was like, flipping out, you've really jumped on that one.
It's driving the game to go to almost like a non-contact sport in them situations, though. That's the problem. I mean, if you think about the original, rule of like shoulder barge and this, that, the other in the olden days, it's making it a really, non-contact sort of point of the game.
They need to go the way of the NRL. Like we're always talking about these decisions and it slows the game down. What the NRL do is the referee decides what he thinks has happened, whether it's a no try or it's a, if it's a try, he gives it, and then they check it whilst the kick's been taken.
Yeah,
it's
a good rule.
It works while he's lining brilliantly. The kick up, yeah. Works brilliantly. They don't.
Could you show me from another? Could you just give me another angle? I've made my decision.
Why do they all sound about like they're on Last of the Summer Wine as well? Why?
Why do they have to have the same script every time?
Oh, the ones on the
all available angles. Well, if you want, why bother saying that? If you just give them the fucking angles.
You can tell the ones on the NRL in the bunker, right? You can tell they drive Teslas. They've got a really fit bird at home. They're all slim and in their 30s and cultured and probably been to university. And then you go,
can you give me another angle? I've got to get my whippets out later.
And I say that is helping our diversity with you saying they've all got a fit bird at home. Help the diversity.
He's brought the podcast round though, Sam, from that boring fucking half hour we've just done.
I can guarantee an NRL, bunker guy, she's got like sleeves down her arms, she's fit, little hipster jean. Oh, stunning. Yeah. I see our bloody super league.
Are you all right, love? Have you got that verruca off your foot? I'm home.
Jesus. Sorry. Digressed. Oh, I think my drugs have kicked in. Right, where are we up to?
This is going to be edited this week, isn't it?
No, Sam? It's not. No, it's not. This is going straight up. 32nd minute, Duffy breaks away and has the pace to go the entire distance. Ratchford hits the post and it's 10-8. Sam, are you warning yourself this one?
I was disappointed I didn't get round that little ankle tack to put it behind the sticks. I was a bit disappointed.
You would have gone down there.
I eased off
then,
a bit too early. I eased off a bit too early there,
He's quick over 40 metres, isn't he? He's not as quick over the length, but he's rapid off the...
I think this is what I've said, though. It seems like his acceleration, maybe because he's small and short and close to the ground, his legs seem to go twice the speed, but it does seem that initial burst of acceleration is what seems to be.
That was evident in the bits that we've not talked about in the defensive side as well, because Catalan were putting up the high kick. I think he was 100% under the high bomb, and he also made quite a few yards when he was catching it on the line, and it made a hell of a difference to take that pressure off. He's just that again, that first 20 metres, woof, and he was like, we were on that 20 metre line. We could have easily been pushed over.
We had that runner, didn't we, in the 80s that always used to win like the indoor events, 60 metres Gosford event and stuff. He'd win. And then he'd go to the Olympics and he'd be like fucked at the 65 metre mark. Do you remember him? I can't remember what his name was.
Oh, here we go. That's consistent, isn't it?
46 minute, and it's the Chuckle Brothers, Cassiano and Williams. To you, to me, to you. And Williams scores under the sticks. Ratchford finally adds two more, and it's 14-10. Ho-ho. Lovely hands by Cassiano, Sam. Beautiful. Yeah, Chris Hill-esque.
Stunning try, that. Look, and because it came off so well, it looked so simple. And yet you don't see them every week, and the reason you don't see them every week is because to get that timing just right is so difficult. But it was wonderful try.
He looks happy, Cassiano. Got a big grin on his face the whole time. Is he big? Like, close up, is he big? Have you seen him in Mark Spencer's yet, Sam?
I've seen him twice now. He's walked past me, and I haven't had the confidence to say hello.
And just for those of you who've never seen Mr. Waywell, he is about 6'4" yourself, aren't you, Dennis?
I am, yes. And I was looking up.
Great. 53rd minute, Tom Davis intercepts. He looks to be going the distance, but Matty Ashton has other ideas. Had a bit of an angle on him, I think, Sam, to start with, but we ran him down.
Yeah, I wonder whether this was where the top speed of the...
Oh.
Of the weekend came from, perhaps, but right. it wasn't just Ashton. It was the three of them got back in the end, didn't they? To bring him down. And when you look back at what then happened, that chasing back, that you are not scoring, because it was the first of two occasions when, with a slightly better pass or a slightly different decision, we'd have actually scored there rather than been intercepted. It could have changed the entire game.
Going back to another 100 metre runner, he was running like Carl Lewis, you know, when he used to like run it.
Oh yes,
like with his thighs really high.
On drugs.
Was it? No, I was just talking about his running style and his gait.
Right.
Yeah.
60th minute, a poor attempt at a tackle by Metautier sees Romano get on the outside of him to score. Conversion is missed. Hit the post, I think. 14 all. This is why I don't like Metautier when they get him square one on one. All gets a bit flat footed.
I don't know about the technicalities of the tackling, because let's face it, the only couple of occasions I tried to play rugby, I got hurt tackling, so I didn't bother again. But he does seem occasionally to jump out of the line to try, for want of a phrase, to solve a problem. And it was almost like he thought, oh, well,
you solve a problem like Metautier.
I'm going to be in trouble. So he tried to get him before he actually got the ball, almost, didn't he? And he suddenly found himself handed off and
it was
and
shit,
looking
Sam.
Silly.
It was shit. That's the technical word for it. He got stood up like a kipper. That's what happened.
Yeah. Is the caveat over now?
Okay, 65th minute. Ratchford breaks, and with the Catalines line at his mercy, somehow his pass meant for Duffy finds the outstretched and committed arm of Tom Johnston. And from the resulting Dragons break, it turns out Gil Dudson is an absolute fool, as he's sent off, and rightly so, for a cowardly punch. Dudson is then seen grinning at the crowd as he leaves the field, the pantomime villain. Oh, I mean, it's been all over Twitter. Everyone's got their opinion on it. I'll just read a couple out that came our way. Steve Norris wrote, "Isn't the first time punches have been thrown, and it won't be the last. It is what it is. It's the whole tongue and smile walking off. Nothing to be proud of or laugh about." And Tom Astle also wrote something pretty similar. "Genuinely never want to see him in a wire shirt again. Cheap red card, but it's more the reaction at the end walking off that annoys me."
Wow. So who's going to go first? Because I was there, so I should go last. So, Rob, right, let you go first. Let him go. Go on.
All right.
Well, I won't go on. I'm just going to say very quickly, one sentence, fuck him off.
Okay. Right, Sam.
I was very disappointed in Steph Ratchford. He should have scored under the posts.
Yes, and the whole I agree.
Thing, The whole thing doesn't happen.
Oh, I like that. That's a good one. Yeah.
If you watch that back, have you seen how far Johnson's away from Ratchford when he actually throws that ball? It's like about 4 or 5 metres away from him. Could have just kept going.
I've seen a few of these comments. Have you finished, Sam? Let's hope so.
I don't agree with Rob about fuck him off, but I tell you what, he's not started particularly well in a Warrington shirt when you compared him to the other props. And he's got a lot of making up to do. So he's starting from a position of deficit for me when he comes back eventually.
Has that offer of me getting on Sky Sports gone again with me just saying fuck him off?
I think
No. Just the way you put it. Well, I'm of the that's a good point you've just made, Sam. I never thought of it like that, and I think actually that is the right way to think about it. I said at the beginning of the season I wanted an aggressive, like, you know, front row forwards that would be feared, this, that and the other, and with some of that aggression you're going to get this sort of behaviour, which I agree, it's a cheap shot, I don't like it, but
it's almost
that's
assault.
Just the territory. Yeah, but it goes with the territory. If you want to, you know, you want players to play hard, then when you're in the heat of the action, for whatever reason has set him off, I think that's the thing about it. Why has he actually done it? I was thinking that Johnson had threw his head into his nuts or something to, you know, aggravating that much. I've no idea, but it's just a cheap shot, isn't it? I think when you talk about aggression, it takes me back to where, like, Ben Westwood, when he got sent off against Wigan for a headbutt. It was in a melee and everybody, it was 50-50 and everybody was at it, but when someone's stuck on the floor and gets
cowardly.
It's like, you should let him stand up first.
It reminded me of the school bully. You know, school bullies are always cowards. And he's, you know, he's pinned him to the ground, so he's done this cheap shot. And then Mike McMeekin arrives on the scene, and Dudson didn't want any of that, did he?
When McMeekin
got hold of him, Dudson was, and then he does the grin. What's the grin about leaving the field?
Take away all that. I think what we should do is draw a line under it. And as Sam said, I think now is the opportunity. He's got to really make it up. And if he doesn't, then he's shit. Simple as that.
He's got to go away and work on his pipe cleaner legs. He's got legs like pipe cleaners.
Yeah. Singleton out of Wigan, he's got similar physique. Yeah.
Boxer's legs. Okay. All right. Are we covered that one off then? So we're all in agreement with me. We fuck him off, are we? That's what we can. 73rd minute, Williams runs the ball along a depleted Catalan's defensive line. Nicholson calmly draws his man to feed Thulis for the winner. Thulis takes on the kicking duties and converts his own try. And it's 2014. Nicholson's some player, isn't he? 19, to have that composure, just to straightened up that winger before throwing the ball. He's going to be one hell of a player in a couple of years' time. When he fills out, he's already big.
And we created an overlap whilst being a man down.
Also, again, the trickery of Ratchford down the other side. There's no room at all, and all of a sudden he's in and out and he's gone again. Mm. And we've gone 40 metres downfield from the resulting play of the ball. Williams gets to run across field. He's in brilliant form, Ratchford. So, fantastic. 78th minute, Catalans have yet another try ruled out for offside to leave the final score of Catalans 14. Warrington 20. To recap, there was two tries for Thulis, or for me, I think I got both of those, we can all agree. Dufty, Sam didn't get that one, and Williams. Ratchford kicked 1 from 3, and Thulis 1 from 1. Now, what was up with Mr. Vaughan, Sam? 23 tackles, 9 carries, 54 metres. I looked back at his when he came on. He played only for 35 minutes. He came on between the start of the game and the 21st minute. And then he came back on the 57th minute and went off on the 71st minute, of which he spent a lot of the time between 57 and 71 with his hands on his hips, walking around.
Yeah, I did a bit of research and I've been reliably informed that someone on the sideline was putting him off and making him feel very nervous because he recognised him from Castleford and thought he was being followed. And that's what it was.
I can give you an update on that. He recognised me in Catalan as well because I said, is this a better temperature for you, Paul? And he carried on walking past. I think he didn't like that question. You know what? This game, it was probably one of the best games I've seen. I would almost compare it to a Wembley final. That was the feeling of this game. And it was certainly the reaction of the players after the match in terms of what their feeling was. It was pretty amazing. It had everything. This game, the atmosphere was absolutely electric. It was full, about 13,000 there. It was amazing, and I think when you look across the team, I don't really think anybody had a particularly bad game. I think the tries that were scored against us.
Dudson, 14 tackles, 4 carries, only 20 meters. Are you saying he had a good game?
No, actually, I'm going to. Yeah, can you edit this so it sounds like apart from Dudson, everybody had an absolutely great game.
Is that going to be, shall I call the podcast that this week? Apart from Dudson, everyone had a great game.
Yeah.
Our clickbait last week worked brilliantly. We got something like 30% more listens in the first 2 hours because we need another good punchy title, Sam. You came up with
punchy
a great
title.
One last time.
A punchy title, that's good, yeah.
A punchy title. We need a punchy title, right? That could be it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. The real reason Gil Dudson lost his temper. How about that?
Yes.
Sort that. Yes. Right, there we go. Perfect.
Okay.
Dufty, 188 metres. Williams, 176. Philbin had a great game, 122 metres. He's running straight again. Cassiano had a brilliant game, 117 metres. Thulis, 115. Nicholson, 106. And Ratchford, 101. Like nearly half the team ran over 100 metres. The other end of the scale, the poor one was Dudson. He only made 20 metres.
Can I also chip in with someone else who doesn't reflect on this chart? And I think it's worth a point of mention over the two games is Danny Walker. Not a big fan of him last year, but his decision making at number nine, filling in for Darryl Clark. His standing for Darryl Clark at the moment is superb. He's making all the right decisions. He was part of that tribe with Cassiano and Williams when they had that little combination. That was a set move, and every time he was passing it out and he made the right decision for running from dummy half, he was absolutely brilliant.
And in that heat and in that environment of the way that game was, 41 tackles, just one miss. 41 tackles, just one miss. And that's in a team, we missed more tackles in that match than any other game this year, but only one from him out of 41.
What's our thoughts on Maguire? What do we make of Maguire?
Well, can I just say I've got some inside information on this. I watched the match back and he played 60 minutes, I think, Rob. Is that right? Have you got that stat?
I haven't got that stat, no. I've got him down as 32 tackles, 15 carries and 67 metres. Super League's got him down as 32, 15 and 70 metres. Yeah. Warwick's got him down as like 32, 15 and 100 metres because they allowed the bit from the bus back and two.
Yeah. Well, he's not match fit yet. And I tell you what, for a man that's not match fit, he didn't have to put a shift in. He really did tackle quite a lot and stuff. And I think he's going to be really handy with the ball as well once he's up to speed with the rest of them. Because don't forget, everyone's like 7 matches ahead. Now, I managed to get a word with them at the end of the match. I waited for him. That's why I was looking like a bit of an idiot when you sent me a video saying, why are you looking like a footwit sat there? I was actually... What it was, I had bloody Dufty shouting his head off at Corey Norman, who had his finger out, and that was too close to my nose for comfort. And then I was looking out for where Josh Maguire was, because I thought, it'd be good to get a few words off him. So I said to him, I think, I've not even watched the video, but I think this is what he said. I said, what was it like to get the run out and this, that, and the other? He goes, well, I got knocked out, and that's why I had to come off, but I really enjoyed it. And I watched the video today and I thought, no idea where he got knocked out, if he did get knocked out. So he played on because up until that time he just got took off, I think. So.
Good to see going back to the court case that's going through at the moment. might want to delete that.
Oh, fuck's sake. Jesus Christ.
Round 8 results. Castleford 16, Wakefield 4. Hull 0, Hull KR 40. Wigan 14, Saints 6. Lee 20, Salford 22, and Leeds just scraped a win against Huddersfield 18-17. So that leaves the table looking like this. Warrington out on top, played 8, won 8, with a goal difference of 1, 5, 6 and 16 points. Wigan, a little bit further down, won 6, lost 2 on 12 points. Catalans also were on 12, Hull KR on 10. And then the top 6 is made up with Saints and Salford also on 8 points. So those Saints have only played 7 games. We then go to Leeds on 8, Huddersfield 6, Lee on 6, Castleford on 4, Hull on 4 and Wakefield yet to win a game. A goal difference of minus 187. OK, here's Daniel predicting how the top 6 will finish and his relegation candidate.
Well, after 8 rounds, the season is starting to take shape, and I've seen enough to make my predictions for the rest of the campaign. Finishing top of the league, and this may surprise some, is going to be the Wigan Warriors. Wigan have been consistent largely so far, barring one or two blips, and they are really starting to iron out those difficulties. I watched them against St Helens, and they were very, very good indeed. They really won the arm wrestle against Saints, and they had more quality both in attack and defence. They've even got Toby King playing really well. In second place is going to be Warrington. We've made a really, really strong start to the campaign, and we're going to be right up there come the end of the year, which is certainly something we couldn't have been saying about 2022. Why won't we finish top? Well, I just think the injuries are starting to mount up a little bit for Wyre. In third place will be St Helens. The reigning champions have made a bit of an iffy start to Super League this season, with quite a few losses in there already. Whether it's that they're suffering a bit of a hangover from their Penrith victory, or whether Paul Wellens just isn't quite the right man yet, I'm not sure. They do look a bit of an ageing side though, and certainly one or two players don't look quite the force they were. Fourth place is going to be the Catalans Dragons, who are very, very good at home, and normally don't travel so well, but have done so far this season. I think Catalans will be steady away for the rest of the year. I've seen them a few times not look hugely impressive, yet managed to grind out victories, which, you know, is a great trait to have, but it can only last so long. So I don't think Catalans are going to finish top. Fifth is going to be Huddersfield. Ian Watson has assembled a really good side there, and Jake Connor is perhaps that bit of spark that they've maybe lacked last season. And rounding off the playoffs is going to be Hull KR, who are a really good side to watch. They throw the ball about, they can attack. In Ryan Hall, they have someone who is still a very, very good winger. And their halfbacks of Mikey Lewis and Jordan Abdul can kick any team to death. Finishing bottom and getting relegated, I'm not exactly sticking my neck on the line here to say it's going to be Wakefield, who haven't won a game yet and haven't really looked like winning a game yet so far. There have been some other sides that haven't impressed, such as Casford and Hull FC, but Wakefield are going to be the team that finish in bottom.
So he's gone for Wigan first, Wyre second, Saints third, Catalans fourth, Huddersfield fifth, Hull KR sixth, and relegated, no surprises there, Wakefield. What are you thinking, Dennis? Are you in agreement with Daniel?
Well, pretty much. I've got a few different ones. I've gone for Wyre top, Wigan, Saints, Catalan, and then Leeds and Huddersfield. I think Leeds are going to be there or thereabouts. Huddersfield are going to be there or thereabouts if Jake Connor knows when to do a kick and when not to. And I think Catalan, again, having seen Catalan, I've got them in fourth thinking that Saints are going to come good. Catalan are a really big physical side, and they're going to get quite a few wins. So it could be, they could jump a couple of places, but yeah, that's me.
Sam?
Yeah, a lot of ifs, buts and maybes here. I think we're going to have a patched up side this week. However, if we can beat Wigan this week, then we go 6 points clear of them. And I can't see them overcoming 6 points. On the flip side of that, lose and it's all on. And then I could understand where Daniel's going to come from on that.
Has he covered off his top six yet? Is he still caveating? I'm not quite sure what's going on.
Yeah, I think we've just got to wait another 5 minutes. Yeah, he's going to come back with something, I thought.
I don't think Leeds will get there, Dennis. I don't think they're very good. I think Salford might just retain sixth place.
I've had enough of this wishy-washiness. I'm just going to boldly say the top six. It's going to be Wyre, Saints, Wigan, Catalans, Salford and Leeds. Relegated, Castleford.
Ooh.
So at some point, Wakefield have got to learn how to play on a plastic pitch, haven't they? They've got to gain some points playing on that piece of shit every week.
So this is your QPR analogy, is it?
This is my QPR analogy. I just think that Castleford look dour and Wakefield can just pick up the odd win if they learn how to play on the pitch. Because I think that's their biggest advantage this year is that pitch.
So I think Lee are going to burn out. I think they've had their purple patch of the season, so I think they're just going to be somewhere thereabouts.
Well, there's a few dicky knees on Wyre's casualty ward. And if you include homesickness and suspensions, 28% of the squad is currently unavailable. Daryl Clark tweaked his knee during the Castleford win. Daryl Powell hinting Clark will not be fit for the Wigan game, but he could return in time for the Saints fixture. Matty Russell took a bang to his knee in the Hull victory and was named on the flight passenger list to France, but didn't play. Connor Wrench is still recovering from knee ACL post-season surgery. Wrench is expected to be fit in 6 weeks. James Harrison has a PCL knee injury. And although Joe Bullock's knees are fine, he hasn't been hitchhiking for a while due to a fractured thumb. Daryl Powell, however, has informed the podcast that both Harrison and Bullock will be fit. And he used the words around about the Wakefield fixture. So it leaves the current status of the 35 players that have had squad numbers and have been in the team this year or have actually made it onto the field but have been in the starting 17 at fit 25, injured 4, suspended 2, on loan 3, and 1 has left the club. Not too bad, seeing we had 48 props to start with. I think Wigan have lost both their strike props this week. But I think it's alright, isn't it? I think we're going alright. There's no major injuries amongst them all. Just bumps and bruises.
No, but it's the way that all of a sudden our, shall we say, first choice props, so many of them are unavailable at once.
Yeah.
None of them seem to be an individual problem, but all at once seems to be an issue. And it might well turn out, I mean, Whitehead has played, Thomas has played, Green didn't get on the pitch, but he's been involved around the squad. It might be we'll have three of them on the bench this week. Mm. So at least them having a taste of action already this year would have...
Is Green a prop?
Would all go well.
He's a back row forward.
He's not very tall.
I thought Philbin was nice. Philbin was standing next to him saying, your time will come, son. You could see he was disappointed not to get on the field, but he's smaller than Philbin. He's not big.
Yeah.
And Powell went over to him as well, didn't he? On the TV pictures.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a lot of knees going on there, boys. Lots of knees seems to be the theme. So that brings us on to this week's quiz, which has a knees narrative.
I was just going to mention one more thing before we go into the knees narrative. The only thing that worries me is Vaughan's minutes. And if you were going to write a TV show, Vaughan's minutes would probably be like a hit TV show, wouldn't it? You'd be watching it to see what happened. If he's not, it seems to me this year, if he's not on the pitch, we just look a bit vulnerable. So that's my only thing I'm worried about.
I think we have done in more recent weeks, Dennis, I think, because we've had, for my money, or our other two best-looking performers of the year in Harrison and Bullock haven't been available. Cassiano is a different player. I'm looking at him as your strike player rather than the guy who's going to do your minutes and drive you forward. Different type of player, Cassiano. We've got two games coming up, two huge games coming up. Then we've got a week off for the international, and then we've got the bye round against Wakefield. So if he gets through these 2 weeks, perhaps he'll get a bit of a rest.
Okay. For your money then, Sam, has anybody had your money yet? you know, has anybody got your fiver?
He's going to come on to that in the bungalow.
Section. I'm going to come on to that. The answer is no, but I'll leave it. I will leave it just hanging, tantalisingly there.
Can I just say that at the Catalan match, I met a few people off. I met one of them off the Watt Bevan group. He was totally shit-faced, Mike. So I couldn't understand the word he was saying. I've not even watched the video yet, Mike, but you sounded absolutely shit-faced. And then the other guy, this other fella, Rob, he was saying, well, I was trying to look for this Sam Sankey, he said, but you didn't show his face on the Castleford video. And I said, well, you should have been, well, there you go. He said, because we can't have him mobbed. And he gets very worried about it. So I'd be interested to hear where this £5 going to go in a bit then.
Can I do me quiz now? Is that?
Yes, come on, get on with it. I was hoping you'd forget.
What knee must one kneel on when being knighted?
Your left knee.
Too quick for Dennis. You're too quick for Dennis, Sam. What should you do if a gingerbread man hurts his knee?
Ooh.
Eat it.
Put icing on it.
I see.
Hello, is this mic still working? Hello?
Everyone's fast forward in now.
What knee do most people kneel on when asking for their partner's hand in marriage? And I want the percentage.
Right, okay. 64% left.
Ooh. I was going to say 60% right, so we've got a good split there.
Well, it's 70% right. There you go. Another point to Sam. Which Manchester band, formed in 1997, was originally called Knee?
Elbow.
Point to Dennis. Name an animal or bird that knees...
I don't believe that.
Name an animal or bird that knees bend backwards.
A flamingo.
Sloth.
Right, you know on QI when it goes on the screen, yeah. Sam fell for it. There's not one bird and there's not one animal that has a knee that bends backwards.
Oh, of course. What you're looking at is the place, aren't
you? You're looking at their ankle. The flamingo's ankle is what you're seeing.
Joints are in a different place, yes.
Okay. Yeah. Which Radio 1 DJ is reported to have instigated a knees up following a Radio 1 1981 summer road show held on the Isle of Wight, which eventuated in the police breaking up the party at 5 a.m.
Go on, Dennis. Jimmy Savile. Do you want to take first guess?
Yeah, Jimmy Savile.
Dave Lee Travis.
It's Mike Reed. Mike Reed. And finally, how many major ligaments are in the knee?
Four.
Very good, Sam. And for a bonus point, can you give me the acronyms for the four ligaments?
Oh, ACL, MCL, PCL and something else.
Yes, you've got three. You've got three. One more to go. Did you say LCL? Is that what you said then?
No, but I did. Sorry, yes, LCL.
Yes, LCL. Yes, four out of four. Well done, Sam. Well done.
Morning, Ralphie. Sorry, 32 minutes late. Hollins Green, sabotaged 5G phone mast.
Oh, Daryl, this is the best idea since me leaving the RFL. Oh, what a great idea it is to hold an Easter festival at the health retreat. I haven't seen so many people congregated together, does I, since the Warrington Walking Day back in the mid-80s. You know, before the people in the town went completely feral and couldn't give a shit. And I think us giving away those free Kinder Egg surprises, does I, for any visitor under the age of 12, we could be on for a real winner.
But aren't they a choking hazard, Ralphie?
Oh, nonsense, Darrell. With these junior season tickets discounted to £26, most of the juveniles are used to swallowing any old shit.
Oh, but do you really think it was a good idea, Ralphie, to dress Professor Broomhead up as the Easter Bunny? Look at him, over there.
Oh, why massage me from head to toe in wintergreen, Darrell? I haven't seen such a scary rabbit since I attended the Odeon matinee on Buttermarket Street in 1978 to watch Watership Down.
Oh, I never knew back in your day, Ralphie, you were a Warrington Odeon goer.
Oh, yes, Gazza. I saw the classics there. Jaws, Star Wars, and, of course, Splash.
Apocalypse Now?
Yes, I too heard it had become Weatherspoons. Anyway, as much as Easter has been commercialised, Darrell, by all the confectionery... by all the chocolate companies. It's especially important we don't forget the true meaning of when our good Lord was resurrected.
Oh, you mean when Les Boyd came back for his second spell at Wilderspool in 1987? For a second there, Ralphie, I thought you were referring to the long-haired hippie who made his way through the slums with the motion of a donkey.
Well, that's no way to talk about Tony King's move to Wigan.
Anyway, Ralphie, it's ever so nice for Fitzpatrick to volunteer to be nailed to the cross for our reenactment.
But perhaps don't bring him down on the traditional Monday, but keep him up there for about a fortnight.
I've asked Ben's inhaler, Ralphie, to give the Easter service in the chapel to everyone in the commune. Health retreat. Why, here he comes now.
Is that you, Mother? Oh, what would Mother do?
Oh, this is making us all a laughingstock, Darrell. Quick, have Sir H.J. do his reading.
I didn't get where I am today by not knowing full well that you can't resurrect an NFT deal with a tax deduction to offset the capital gains behind a pair of Tanya Arnold sexy silky stockings.
Super.
Not now, Benji.
Oh, Darrell. Oh, my rugby football league brain hurts. Surely there's a different spirituality, less complicated version than this one.
You could always join my faith, Ralphie.
And what on earth is that then, Darrell?
Why, the balance faith, Ralphie. I've got 48 prop disciples, although admittedly, we are down to 2.
Oh, tackle sacks.
Well, I was listening to this.
You like this, didn't you? You like this one?
Well, I did quite like this, but it wasn't really that got to me.
The length.
It was, I want to ask, when was this recorded?
I think this week, wasn't it, Dennis? Did we quickly put this
one out? Oh, yeah, about a week ago.
Yeah.
Oh, this one was this week. It wasn't one of the ones you did.
Well,
it had been written
a long time ago, but I think we just tweaked it a little bit. And then
that's a shame. Because I was thinking Madame Boyd had had something to do when you was talking about Carl and his cross, and we only had two props left. But if it was only written this week, then fair enough. You're on script, but I was giving you some Nostradamus qualities to begin with.
Have you had the Vic around for tea recently, Sam?
No, but I'm seeing him in 3 weeks' time at the wine tasting.
Down at the village hall.
Down at the village hall. Yeah. Might be 4 weeks' time.
Ooh, very nice.
Be that pissed, you won't know. Life in the bundle can make you feel invincible. It ain't like life on Rodeo. If you like Tokyo and hate what's on the radio, come over to the bungalow. I'd like to show you around. Okay, bungalow. It's not been knocked down yet.
Is it vacant? Does it look vacant? Are the lights off?
There's no vehicle. The vehicle's gone.
Are them skips still there? Are they gone?
The skips weren't at that bungalow, but the skips are still there. Yes, they've not moved in the street. The street's gone really downhill since
If the skips weren't at the bungalow, why did you say it for about 4 weeks going on about the fucking skips?
I was giving you the outlook from Ramsey Street.
Right, okay. Life in the bungalow can make you feel invincible. It ain't like life on Rodeo. If you like Tokyo and hate what's on the radio, come over to the bungalow.
Anyway, the bungalow's gone unless we get a new tenant. The bungalow's gone.
Well, you should say that. Because we put out a Twitter poll this week, which was, what's the best punishment for Gil Dudson? We gave four options. We've had 381 votes. Not guilty, 6%. 2 to 4 weeks, 18%. 5 to 8 weeks, 36%. But the winner, with 40%, is move him into the bungalow.
So, excellent, great news, because then I can go round and ask him how he's getting on with it. Because he's got 5 weeks now to work on his spindly legs. Anyway, should I get onto the fiver?
Yes.
Okay, I've still got the fiver. I've actually had some near misses, though. I had Steve come up to me at Park Run and said, are you Sab Sankey and can I have my fiver? That was at Park Run. I had both Brian and Dave come up to me in the Little Manor and actually turn down the offer of me buying them a drink. And I went for a coffee at Lim Dam last week, and I was stood talking to the lady in the van, and a guy stood to the left just said to me, are you on the podcast? Are you Sam Sankey? So, and he wouldn't take a coffee off me either. Because
Who's the lady in the van? Isn't that an Alan Bennett play?
He's going to end
up giving... parked up on someone's drive, like Dennis does when he goes away.
Yeah, he's going to end up giving this £5 to Daryl Powell, isn't he? Daryl Powell's going to be saying
we have hit number 3 spot in the Canadian rugby charts. So I've looked at the conversion rates. $8.30 is the equivalent to £5 on yesterday's exchange rate. So if you get stopped by a Mountie, Sam, make sure that's what you
okay what no you problem them.
Join him on a shadowy flight into the dangerous world of vlogging and the M62. Dennis Waywell is on a mission to keep rugby league alive. In a world of camper vans and reasonably priced tarpaulins. In northern towns where kids have blue drinks for their tea. Introducing Tackle Bags. No way, Tackle Vlogs. No, hang on, Tackle Books. Nope, that's wrong too. I had it right the first time. He just can't even be arsed to rebadge it. Welcome to Dennis's Tackle Bags. Or Just skip forward for about 15 minutes.
Well, this week on Tackle Bags, slight change really, because I haven't really got much to write about here because I only got back at midnight last night.
How long did it take you, like, there and back?
Well, I've got it written down somewhere.
I mean,
I think
you did stop at every vineyard on the way down, didn't you, in the whole of France?
That's one of the reasons. So, obviously, if you're going to go to Catalan, this is one of the selling points, is that you want to incorporate it into a holiday. So we stopped at the Loire Valley, we bought some wine there and then ended up just...
Across on the ferry was all right? You didn't have to wait 4 days to get the ferry?
No. It was 4.5 hours, Poole to Cherbourg, so it was a bit out of the way of all the bother of going through Dover. But it did take 11 and a half hours worth of driving to get down to Catalan. So
did you see anyone on the motorway at all? I mean, I've driven in France, there's just no one on the motorway.
It's so noticeable. The roads are clear, really smooth. So 11 and a half hours driving, 4.5 hours on the ferry, 16 hours total travelling if you just sort of went in one go. But like I say, always best to split it up with a bit of a wine tasting. So this week's Tackle Bags will have a bit of a wine tasting on there. So you can see that. When I got to actual Perpignan, we didn't have the camping booked, or we sort of did. It was a bit flaky. We turned up and it was a bit of a commune, which was a bit of a strange one. A bit like the health retreat commune. Got there and the woman was nowhere to be seen. Tried to phone her, couldn't find her. Walked into the... It was like a farm.
Doesn't sound like the French at all.
No, it was just a farm and she had this area. And I walked in there and it was just like these two blokes. One of them sat in a string vest with a fag in his mouth. And just trying to say, is this the camping? And he just, we said, we're not staying here. So at 5 o'clock, the night before match day, we had nowhere to stay. My phone packed in and we couldn't actually find a campsite. So we improvised and I went to McDonald's. I'm just going to put a caveat out there. Didn't eat at McDonald's, I just used the Wi-Fi. And managed to find a place 30 miles, well, about...
Le Mac. Sorry, about,
yes, something like that, no.
Le Big Mac.
Sorry, I thought you were talking about the beach where we stayed. So we found a campsite just near a beach. As it happened, somebody on YouTube actually commented on one of the videos saying that he was staying there. So that's why we ended up there. And he was in a camper van. So I managed to hook up with this guy called Rob and shared an Uber back with him as well. So that was quite useful. And anyway, went to the match. What a brilliant place, eh? Wouldn't you want to go there? Have you ever been there, Sam?
Been twice, yes.
Yeah,
and not what for a while though.
We
had a wonderful
it?
Time. Yeah, wonderful what, time.
Where did you go? Do you remember? Because you mean you must have been quite pissed by that point.
Cullier, and just in the town centre below the castle.
And how was your French?
Those were in the. Sorry.
Oh, Jesus, I'll say it again in English. How is your French?
Oh, my French is very poor until I've had a drink. Once I've had a drink, it gets better.
Do you think anyone's still listening to this?
No. Anyway, so you want me to move on, don't you? Right, okay. Let me just say, by the way, for Tackle Bags, and I've just had another coffee bought from me from Phil in the Bay Area of California. So we've got another listener or a watcher this time over in America. Yeah, thanks for that. So big thank you for you. Went to an art gallery, saw a mummy in a museum. The museum in Perpignan is a bit like Warrington Museum. I got some pictures of it.
It's got basically dead seal.
Pretty much dead everything in it, yeah, and a mummy as well. And you know, one thing I learned out of this trip, because of the issue with the campsite, adversity. Out of adversity comes some great adventure. And a bit like Warrington when they had the red card in the game. The adversity led to a great adventure where we actually went on to win. And that's what the whole weekend felt like in Catalan. That and the sun being out is obviously making a huge difference. And if you look at my nose, you can see I had a really good time there.
Good on you. Well done. Well done, Dennis.
Anyway.
So when's it going up on YouTube? I'm looking forward to this one.
Yeah, I'm going to try and get it out before the Wigan match. So it's going to be a challenge this week because I've only got 48 hours. So if you want to, you know, subscribe and click and buy me a coffee, then do all that by watching the next video. I think we've got, we're up to 1,000 views now on the last two videos. So we're going quite well.
Brilliant.
Predictions.
Afternoon to you. Earlier on today, apparently a woman rang the BBC and said she heard that there was a hurricane on the way. Well, if you're watching, don't worry, there isn't.
I'll predict Warrington, but can I do it with a caveat, please?
Okay, it doesn't come much bigger than this. Wire's next two games see them take on the two shitty towns they forgot to close down. Yes, first up, it's the pie-eating scum. 8pm on Friday the 14th of April at the HJ, and then the following Thursday at the Totally Wicked Stadium, according to Forbes magazine, the third worst place to live in the British Isles, St Helens. Again, kickoff is 8pm, and both games are live on Sky. Here's Hal.
Bonjour, my name is Hal. Thankfully I've made it back from my week away to the south of France with Monsieur Denis. A camper vanning round trip that was fueled by more plonk than petrol, and has left my circuit board pickled to within an inch of its fucking life. Anyway, here are my predictions for the next two rounds. Round 8. Warrington versus the pie-eating bastards. Wire to win by 5 points. Round 9. Shit Helens versus Warrington. Wire to win by 3 points. Okay, I'm off to call my holiday romance. Yes, that's right. A beautiful petite Renault 5 dashboard cigarette lighter called Nicole. Who needs Greggs when you can hang out the back of a French patisserie? Nicole?
Pepper?
Nicole?
Pepper?
Well, Hal's gone Wigan by 5. Sorry, Wire by 5 against Wigan, and Wire by 3 against Saints. We're getting very positive. I think we might be getting carried away with ourselves here a little bit, boys, but that's the way it is. Sam, where are we going with these two? Come on.
Well, I did a bit of research. I know that's not like me. And I'd like to thank Rugby League Records and their website for giving me a bit of this. I went back and found that we've played 24 games at the Halliwell Jones against Wigan.
Oh.
And Warrington have won 16. Mm. And the average score is Warrington 24, Wigan 19.
Oh.
So that points very much to the way that Hal's going.
Hal's always spotted.
But I'm going, but Hal doesn't know that we've only got two props left. And I'm going to say we will play well, but we, this week, rather like Catalan's found out, we'll put a lot of effort in and just come up short. I think Wigan by 6.
Okay.
And then St. Helens, Saints by 6 as well. I think we'll lose both games. I think it'll bring us slightly back to the ground, but we'll do it with a depleted team, and it'll feel like moral victories.
Okay. All right. Cool.
Mm. Go on, Rob. What do you think?
Everyone was raving about the... there's going to be a bit of a caveat here, but everyone was raving about the Wigan-Saints game. Unfortunately, I have been watching a bit of NRL in the last few weeks. The Wigan and Saints game was shit compared to the NRL. I think I watched the Cowboys versus the Dolphins. It was unbelievable. The skill and dexterity on display was just incredible. So I wasn't that impressed with Saints versus Wigan. I thought it was a scrappy game. And Wigan are not the team without Jay Field. They've only got French. And they've lost both their props. I think one's suspended.
Mm.
And I think Cooper's gone for the season. So I think we'll just about do Wigan at home. I think we'll beat Wigan. But Saints, they've not come good since that game against Penrith, and I think this will be the first one that they take. They get the bull by the horns and they take us to the cleaners. So I think Saints might beat us by 20.
Mm. Who've Saints got this week before us? Do we know?
Witness.
Have a look.
Witness.
Come on,
run,
Sam.
Run corn.
Just have a look
field
at that.
Come on, Dennis. You get while Sam's having a look at that. What do you think, mate?
Well, you know what? This is my concern is over Vaughan. I think it is on a knife edge. I think the score is going to be close. I think if Vaughan's going to play some big minutes and we're still going to have a forward pack that is going to be making it, then we could just win it. I think the Saints one might be a bridge too far, depending on who they've got this week, Sam.
I can tell you, but you're going to make your decision first.
Oh, right. Jesus Christ. Well, they're away
at Hull KR.
Hull KR away, Dennis.
Right, okay. Hull KR away. Then I think Saints are going to beat us, and I think that's when we might just see a few cracks.
Okay, that's it. Sign up at patreon.com/whatbevan. Or buy Dennis a coffee. I'm not sure he's actually mentioned that during this podcast. Oh, yes, he has. He's mentioned it 28 times. On his YouTube channel. Links are in the description. So, with Warrington not set to play a match on the day of the Sabbath until the 4th of June, yes, he's safe to go to Sunday Mass for the foreseeable future. It's a God bless you from Sam.
All the best.
And from a man that scoffed at the church by defiantly, as a student, refusing to take his baseball cap off in York Minster. It's a shambles of a way from Dennis.
Bassino.
I'm Rob London, who once sang as a choir boy in the village church and often got to play on the vicar's organ. You've been listening to What Would Brian Bevan Say? Jesus, I've just coughed up a lung.